praise God. Praise God again. Thank you, my brothers, my sisters, for tuning in to this channel. This is called Spirit and Life, and it's where we just use to speak God's word and the word of God. You know, Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 6, verse 63, that the flesh counts for nothing, but the Spirit gives life. And this word that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. And I am convinced beyond a shadow of doubt that every time we look at God's word, he, you know, he releases spirit, his spirit seeps through the word, and likewise we receive life. And he is the life-giving spirit, and any dead situation, once you bring in the word of God, once you bring in the spirit and the life of God, comes alive. And this is just what God helps us to do. And I want us to pray, man, as we start. And today we will carry on the message from yesterday, which was Lot's choice. If you haven't looked at that, you can. And we will carry on in that. And then today we'll look at not Abraham's choice, but at God's choice. And I believe and I trust God that you're going to be blessed by this message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I honor your holy name. I acknowledge your presence here. Thank you for your word that gives life, O God. Your word that is spirit and that is life. And I thank you that, Lord, you're here to speak to our situations. You're here to speak to us. You're here to guide us. You're here to minister unto your people, O God. And I thank you for my brother, my sister that has taken this moment to listen to your word. And Lord, you may minister to them as well. You may meet them at their points of need, O God. You may intervene in all that they need you to do. And I pray for wisdom, even, and patience, even to wait on your choice, O God, because your choice is always the best, far above, beyond above all we could ever ask of or imagine. Lord, may your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, so we have been studying the call of God through the life of Abraham. And it's been a blessed series that I've been enjoying, and I believe you will be blessed by it. And for those who've been following, I know that the Lord has been ministering unto you. And please feel free to comment and to, you know, to give testimonies of what the Lord is doing, because I know that the Lord is doing something in your lives and will do something through his word. So we have been looking at Abraham and Lot, and this is where in Genesis chapter 13 where they separated. And yesterday we saw how, you know, Abraham and Lot just came, you know, they came up from Egypt, and when they came back to Negev, you know, they Abram went back to the place where he had first raised an altar. That was in Bethel, between Bethel and Ai. And there he called on the name of the Lord. And we saw the importance of, you know, man calling upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who was his nephew, his late brother's son, who also moved with Abraham, despite God telling Abraham to leave his father's household, everything that was concerned with his father. Because, you know, the parents' household was from Ur of the Chaldeans, you know. And the Chaldeans were, history tells us that they were astrologers and into witchcraft and moon worship. And that is what God called him out of. And the Lord prospered both Abraham and Lot. You know, coming out of Egypt, they had so much. And when they had that much, it brought a conflict. And we saw how their times increase can bring strife and quarreling. And what we see is that Abraham took the higher ground, and by the higher ground, what do I mean? He spoke to his nephew, who is Lot, and it is expected that, I mean, he was the elder, he was the father figure to Lot. I mean, he would have instructed Lot, chosen for himself, but he told Lot, is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And yesterday we looked at how Lot chose. Lot looked up, you know, he looked at the whole plain of the Jordan. It was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zor. And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose based on his physical perception. He chose based on what humanly made sense, what was logical, what was obvious. I mean, there were agriculturalists, I mean, and keeping animals, and they would need pasture for their sheep, you know, and water to water their animals. And so he looked at the plains. I mean, flat ground was okay because, I mean, they will not have to, you know, to move up the mountains, or, you know, and the difficulties that come with the terrain. And he chose based on what he could see. And unfortunately, he went near the enemy's camp, and this is Sodom. Bible says he pitched his tent near Sodom, but later on we find out that he actually even moved inside Sodom, where, you know, the cities were. And we saw that after he set out, you know, he left, and the outcome of his choice was not good. He was attacked when Sodom and Gomorrah was attacked, and you know, Abraham had to go and rescue him with the 318 men trained in his household. He went and defeated the five kings and rescued his nephew Lot. And thus Lot, after he lost, you know, after he was rescued, then Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire and brimstone. And unfortunately, Lot's wife looked back when they were instructed by the angel not to look back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And now Lot was left with his two daughters and decided to live in caves in the mountain. And unfortunately, his daughters, seeing that they had no man near them, made their father drunk and slept with their father. And they gave birth, each of the daughters, one to, you know, to Moab and the other to Ben-Ammi, who are the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites, who really harassed and terrorized and led Israel to sin, was snare to Israel, to the Israelites. And we see the outcome of his choice led him into trouble. He chose by what he could see physically. What looked good, what made sense, what was the easy way. But we see a different perspective from Abraham. And I want to say that Abraham's choice was actually to await God to choose for him. That's the core of my message. Abraham did not even make a choice. And as we read from Genesis chapter 13, from verse 12, after verse 11. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain. And pitched his tents near Sodom. Now, the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. So, just before we go to verse 14, we can see that Lot chose for himself, but Abraham just stayed in the land of Canaan. You know, God had already told him that on this land, I will give you and your descendants. When he had raised an altar to the Lord between Bethel and Ai, the Lord appeared to him and told him that on this land, this is the land I will give to your descendants. So he continued staying in the land. He did not even make a choice. Verse 14 is where it's interesting. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Now lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." Verse 18. So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Why do I call it God's choice? Abram did not even choose for himself. He just let God. He let God. He dwelt in the land. Lot chose for himself and left. He chose the best. And Abram was left with the rest. And being a man of the promise, a man of faith, a man who has put his trust in God, that God has the best for him, he was in perfect peace that the Lord shall guide him, and that the Lord has promised him that city. He was looking forward to a city whose builder and architect and whose foundations have been set by the Lord. And so his focus was not on the things that could be seen physically, but Abraham's eyes were on the Lord. His heart was on the Lord, and he would stay by the altars and just that he had raised and just wait for the Lord to speak. And for sure, the Lord spoke. The Lord just told him, "Now lift up your eyes, open your eyes and see." You know, this seeing was not just the physical eyes that he could see. I mean, how much distance can one see with his physical eye? A kilometer? I don't know. But it's not as, you cannot see far much beyond. There's a limit to your sight, physical sight, be it long-sighted, short-sightedness, even naturally, anyone with the best eyesight. But God tells him, lift up your eyes and look to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. That means he was being called upon to see beyond what he could see physically. He was being told to see into the future, to see his descendants. And he's given the promise, see the entire length and breadth of the land. Look, it even included, I believe it even included the east that Lot had taken. You know, God's choice will always be above, beyond what you can even imagine. If you allow God to choose for you, it will surprise you. As human beings, we are limited in our choices. We are limited in even our imagination. Do you know? If God even asks you to ask for something, you might not even know what you need. You might have no idea. Because as human beings, our perspective is so limited. But there is a perspective that is above. That's why I was told, lift up your eyes. Look unto God. Look unto beyond. Look unto the spiritual. Don't focus on the things that you can calculate. 1 + 1 = 2. Lift up your eyes and see what God can do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, when you look at that scripture, it says evidence, title deed, is the reality of things not seen. That means that even if you cannot see them, it does not negate the fact that they are real. I tell you, whatever it is that you have been counting on God, whatever you've been trusting on God, just because you cannot see it does not mean it is not real. If God has spoken it, if God has promised it, if God has revealed it in his word, if God has revealed it to you, it shall surely come to pass. I can assure you, it is as real. The word of God is as real as something that you can hold. It is as real. May the Lord open our eyes to see from his eyes, not to see things according to the flesh, not to see things according to the physical things that we can see, but to have perception. Perception that comes from him, perception that comes from his spirit to our spirit. It is only when we are alive in spirit that the Lord God, who is spirit, communicates to our spirits. You cannot be dead in spirit. You cannot be in sin and expect to hear the voice of God. Yes, he may warn you. And many people, when they were about to enter into sin, and believers, the Lord spoke to them and warned them, because God says he warns us. He will shout in our ears to warn us, to preserve our lives from danger. But there is a witness that comes from the Spirit when we choose to wait upon the Lord. The Bible tells us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is a painful process to wait upon the Lord's choice. Yes, time will move as we understand time. Yes, others will get married. Yes, your contemporaries may run ahead of you. Yes, you might see delay. It might even be 3 days late. But you see, the God that we serve is not a God that works with time. Is not a God that is in time. Is not a God that is limited by time. He is a God that created time for man. Because he is Alpha, Omega. He is beginning. He is end. He is everything in between. He is beyond our wildest imaginations. It's only us that understand time. He just gave us time to mark our seasons, to be signs for us. But there are things that he has exalted. He says, I have exalted my name and my word above all else. That means there are things that God, you can hold God to account for. What does the scripture say you can hold him to account for? If God has revealed it in his word, it shall surely come to pass. It shall surely come to pass. What word have you kept in your heart? I want to challenge you this morning to wait upon the choice of the Lord, to wait upon the leading of the Lord. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You want to be a child of God, you need to be willing to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that leads.
So it is us to be sensitive to his movements. Then we can act. Please do not make decisions until you are moved by the Spirit. Do not make those life-changing decisions, marriage, career, what to study, where to live, decisions that come, who to associate with, business, investments, until you receive the promptings of the Lord. And we see Abraham dwelt in the land patiently until the Lord told him, now lift up your eyes, and gave him the promise again, and then now told him, now go walk through the length and the breadth. I tell you, when you have waited on the Lord, it is glorious. People will not understand. People will always ask you, how did you do it? How did you do it? If someone is honest, they that are led of the Lord, they will tell you, it's just the leading of the Lord. I just waited for the Lord. It's just divine instruction from the Lord. It's just prophetic insight, prophetic instruction from the Lord. You want to hear from the Lord? There is no secret. You cannot hear from the Lord unless you read his word. And every instruction from the Lord must be checked with the word of God. If it is contrary to what God has said, it is not from the Lord. It is not from the Lord. And yes, may God open our ears, open our understanding to hear from him. And he is ready to help us in our choices. Wait on the choice of the Lord. Wait on God's choice. He will speak, he will guide you, and he will lead you. Thank you, my brother, my sister. That is it for today. I trust that the Lord has spoken to you, and I know that he shall continue speaking to us as he leads. Feel free to share this video and to comment, subscribe, and you know, just share your questions, your testimonies, and anything that you would want us to discuss as a result of this teaching. I trust God that God shall continue to give us insight into his word, and I know that he shall give us light and life and spirit. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for my listener. Thank you for their lives, O God. Thank you that indeed you are the God that is above, beyond, and that, Lord, you are able to speak to your children, O God. Indeed, you do not leave us as orphans, but you promised us the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth, O God. And I pray that you may guide them that trust you, them that are waiting upon you, them that are waiting upon your choice. May you guide them in all truth. For the praise and honor of your holy name, and meet them at their points of need. And at the end of the day, may the glory and honor go back to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and believe. Amen. God bless you. See you again as the Lord allows us. We shall keep sharing God's word through this channel. And as you follow, you'll be able to get notified of when the next video comes. God bless you, and I love you.